Hello, I'm Scott Millis, senior pastor here at Living Word Family Church, and I'd like to welcome you to our podcast. We want to thank you for joining us today, and we hope that today's message encourages you and equips you in your walk with Christ. Here's today's message.
Hey, friends, welcome to another Wednesday night. It's good to be alive in Jesus Christ. That's the only thing I can say about that, about what's going on in the world today. Makes you want to laugh a little bit and cry on another times, but rejoice that we know the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen? Amen. This week, I'm going to continue on. This is third part of finishing your course, how to live long and live strong and run your race. Amen? So it's vitally important that we know how to navigate the life that we're in today. And God will do that. The Holy Spirit will lead and guide you into all truth, show you things to come, direct your path. But we have to know him, and we have to know his word. Amen? Paul said over in 2 Timothy, and he says, I've finished my course, and I've kept the faith. Now, I probably misquoted that, but you get the point. He ran his race. He finished his course. He kept the faith. Amen. He said he was being poured out as a drink offering, but he says, I've done this. I'm completing my journey, my mission, and fulfilled my commission. Amen. So we can do the same. Paul was telling us that. So here we are 1900 years later or whatever, and here we are doing the same. You know, we're still in the church of Jesus Christ. Some people say, well, I wish it were like the old. No, we're in that church. We're all the body of Christ. Amen. So it's important. And over in Hebrews chapter 12, I talked about last week, I talked about the hall of faith in Hebrews 11, talked about by faith. So one did this, and by faith, and they did another, and so on, for all down through the time. In verse 12, or in chapter 12, verse 1, it says, therefore, also, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight. Now, what is a weight? Something that distracts us and holds us back. Doesn't necessarily mean something bad, but it holds us back from doing what God's called us to do. And the sin, now that gets even more so, the sin that so easily ensnares us. How many of you have got a problem or had a problem, let's pray that you've had a problem that's gone now, with something that's sinful? It could be a lot of things. We always think of the really adverse things, the nasty things and all that. But you know, it can be any number of things that God would call sin. And how many of you know it can ensnare you real easy if you let it? And so we have to lay aside those things. And let us run with endurance the race that is set before us. You know, it's important that we run with endurance. I've told these stories before, but how many even know that it's important as you get older to stir yourself even more? Because, you know, you're getting to that point where it's easy to sit down and just take it easy and not run like you want to. How many of you know there's some wisdom and there's direction as saints get older? John the Revelator had the revelation of Jesus Christ that we read in this Bible here. He said when he was in his 90s. Wow, you believe that? A lot of those apostles were martyred in their later stages of their life. So we can keep running. We can keep going. Amen? But it goes on to say, how do we run that race? Well, looking unto Jesus, keeping our focus on Jesus. We must do that. The author and finisher of our faith, and who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and has sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. That's how we run our race. We run our race looking unto Jesus, following his example, following his direction, amen, to be imitators. And I was talking last week about enemies of our faith, which number one would be Satan. But then I started talking about we walk by faith, not by sight. We have to walk this life by faith. Over in Romans chapter 1, verse 15, Paul says this, so as much as in me, I am ready to preach the gospel to you who are in Rome also. Man, And it goes on to say, for I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. That's the thing, we oughtn't to be ashamed of the gospel of Christ. Many voices in the world today trying to shut us up. That's what they don't want to hear about the name of Jesus. You know, you can get on and talk about God all you want, because it could be a God that isn't in Christianity. It could be different gods, right? So they don't care about that. But when you mention Jesus, boy, it cuts to the quick to a lot of people. Don't talk to me about Jesus. But Paul says, I'm not ashamed of it, for it is what? The power of God to salvation. Wow. It's what draws people and causes people to come to know him. For everyone who believes, for the Jew first and also for the Greek, for in it the righteousness of God is revealed from faith to faith, as it is written, the just shall live by faith. So if we're going to walk this walk and finish our course and run this race, we have to walk by faith, not by sight. That's what it says over in 2 Corinthians 5:7. We walk by faith, not by sight. We trust in God. What is faith? Faith is trusting in God and his word to fulfill what he said he would do. Amen? So we have to do those things. Walking by, the just shall live by faith. It's presented in other places. Over in Habakkuk, that's a chapter we probably don't get into much, but Habakkuk 2:4, which is the famous scripture. What did I say? Let me get over there. I should have wrote it down instead of trying to find it, but it's in there. Habakkuk chapter 2, verse 2 and 2:4. Yeah, okay. You can tell I haven't been over there in a while, right? I was over there long enough to write this down. Oh, there it is, I think. But it talks about walking by faith, living by faith, having a vision, which we'll talk about a little bit in just a moment. But it's important that we walk by faith. We listen to what God says. Faith has action to it. You step out, not just hearing, but action. That's how we got saved, wasn't it? Let me find this yet. A good Bible drill, but I'm not doing very good with it right now. Well, Mike, this is a pause if you have to get something to drink or something. I should go back there more often, right? Oh, there it is. Turn right to it after all that, right? Chapter 2, verse 2 through 4. Then the Lord answered me and said, write the vision, make it plain on tablets, and that he may run who reads it. For the vision is yet for an appointed time. By the end, it will speak and it will not lie. Though it tarries, wait for it, because it surely will come. It will not tarry. Behold, the proud, his soul is upright in him. But the justified, shall live by his faith. So how do we live? We live by our faith. And who is it for? It's not for everybody. It's for the righteous, those that accepted Jesus Christ. That's how we run. Amen? If you've accepted Christ, then you have a right to live by faith and expected to live by faith. Over in Galatians chapter 3, it talks about that again. It's in various places in here, the just shall live by faith. We're the justified, my friend. We're not old sinners saved by grace anymore. We're the justified in Jesus Christ. And so in Galatians chapter 3, I found out a lot quicker. Thank goodness. In chapter 3, verse 11, let me find that. But that no one is justified by the law in the sight of God is evident. For the just shall live by faith. Verse 12 says, yet the law is not of faith, but the man who does them shall live by them. Christ has redeemed us from the curse of the law. Aren't you glad of that? Over in verse 20, it says this. Let me write. Galatians 2:20, I'm sorry. Turn to 2:20. I have been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live, but Christ lives in me, and the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. So how do we walk this walk? How do we run this race? How do we finish our course? By faith, by faith, by faith. Amen. The just shall live by faith. So it's important to know that. Now, and faith is so vitally important because it says in Hebrews 11:6, you know, first you got to know there's a God. And secondly, he's a rewarder of those who what? Diligently seek him. Diligently seek him, not just part-time, not just once in a while. This is a scary thing, my friend, that just put God out here on the periphery and not have him invited into your life full-time. Now, last week I started talking about the enemies of faith. You know, I said Satan is truly the enemy of our faith. He's the one that wants to get us off course and take us a different way. And Brother Hagin wrote a book about faith, and in it talks about six enemies to faith. And I've talked about last week, I talked about number one enemy is failure to understand what it means to be a new creature in Christ. Well, I'm just going to review a little bit, but 2 Corinthians 5:17 says this: if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. Amen. You got to recognize we're not the same old person. We look in the mirror, we're going to look the same. But we're a new person. God has made us brand new. And now we're born again. We must be born again. We're not just forgiven sinners. We are saved by the grace of God through faith. Amen. Amen. Number two, failure to understand our place. How many of you know it's important to know where your place is? And I told you about looking in his word and finding out who you are in Christ. And Brother Hagin writes another little book called In Him. And it goes through there and says who we are in Christ Jesus now. And he says there's approximately, and I give these out quite often, the little books. I read it quite often. 140 expressions in the New Testament writing who you are in Christ. Amen. It's so vital if you get a new identity. If you don't have a new identity in Christ, it's hard to express that. It's hard to live that. It's hard to finish your race. Now, we stop there, but enemy number three, we'll continue on now. Failure to understand righteousness. Amen. Failure to understand now I've been made righteous. That's when people say I'm an old sinner and I'm just saved. I'm just barely getting by through life. You got to know that you've been made righteous. In verse 21 of 2 Corinthians 5, it says, for he hath made him to be sin for us, who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in who? In him. We're righteous because of what the price that Jesus paid. You know, I'm so thankful that for the joy that was set before him, he endured the cross. We're part of that joy, my friends. We're part of that. He saw down the road of life that this was going to set people free and they could become righteous. That old our righteousness is like old filthy rags, the Bible says. Now, when we're born again, our sins were remitted because our past life stopped existing. God said he would remember our transgressions no more. Now, if God can remember everything, why he chooses not to remember them? Isn't that good news? You know, I've thought about things that I've done, but I choose not to remember them anymore. I've thought about things that other people, you know, when you forgive somebody, well, I remember what they did, and you can, and the enemy will try to bring it up again. You can say, no, I recognize what they did, but I hold no charge, nothing against them. And that's what God does. But I have committed sins, some might say, since becoming a Christian. How fortunate we are to have 1 John 1:9. Wow. It says, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. We get out in the mud and get clean. He cleans us off again. But we've been made righteous because positionally because of what Jesus has done. When a believer who has sinned confesses his sin and asks for forgiveness, the Lord does two things. He forgives him and he cleanses him from all unrighteousness. Isn't that good news? I'm telling you, that's good news. Now, number four, failure to understand our right to use the name of Jesus. Boy, this is so important. You know, in John 16, in the Great Commission, in fact, let me just turn to that. John 16, I'm sorry, verse 23, and we'll go to Mark here in a minute, but John 16, verse 23. It's important that we know who we are and we can use the name. Isn't that important that we can use the name? I thought of times that I would use, why did you come? Why did you ask for something? Because I use my dad's name. You know him? You know, well, that changes everything sometimes, doesn't it? John 16, verse 23. And in that day you will ask me nothing. Most assuredly I say to you, whatever you ask the Father in my name, he will give you. Until now, you have asked nothing in my name. Ask and you will receive, that your joy may be full. So we have the opportunity to use his name. Now in Mark 16, which is just down the road there, or back is the Great Commission. And in the Great Commission, what's he say? He tells us to go out and do something in his name. And this is so important that we know this, because a lot of Christians think that's for somebody else. That's for the pastor. That's for the apostles, the prophets. It's somebody, you know, great spiritual leaders. But it's for everybody. This commission is made for everybody. Now, if we're going to run a race, we got to know we can use that name, because it's by faith we live. And it says here, Jesus said to them, said, go into all the world now and preach the gospel to every creature. Well, what's that mean? Everywhere we go, we ought to have the gospel message for people, right? It goes on to say, he who believes and is baptized will be saved, but he who does not believe will be condemned. And these signs shall follow those who believe. Now, what's going to follow? In my name. Isn't that something? He lets us use that name. It's our password to get into the very realm of the powerful realm of God. Amen. It says, in my name, they will cast out demons. Well, you know, we ought to be doing that today. We're in a demon-infested world. Go over and read Ephesians 6. If you don't think we're not wrestling against flesh and blood, we're wrestling against demonic powers and forces of darkness. But he says, in my name, you cast out devils. You will speak with new tongues. And they will take up serpents, and if they drink anything deadly, it will by no means hurt them, and they will lay hands on the sick, and they will recover. You do all of that in his name. And then the disciples, it went out, and it says in verse 20, and they went out and preached everywhere. First they preached the word of God, the Lord working with them and confirming the word through accompanying signs. Amen? That's what we're to do. So we have the freedom and the ability and really the responsibility to use his name. Now, number five, failure to act upon the word of God. Amen. A lot of people say, well, I know that. I believe that. But what are you doing with that? Amen. Act upon the word. The Bible says, trust in the Lord with all thine heart and lean not unto thy own understanding. In all thy ways, acknowledge him. Talk about him. Tell you what the word says, and he shall direct your path. Amen. Amen. It says over in 1 Peter, himself took this is Matthew 8:17. Himself took our infirmities and bore our sickness, whom his own self bore our sins in his body on the tree, that we, being dead to sin, should be alive unto righteousness, by whose stripes we are healed. Those are scriptures that we can count on. The Bible is full of promises and benefits. You know, Psalm 103, bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits. So we bless the Lord and thank him for what he's done for us. And don't forget what he's done. He forgives all our iniquities, heals all our diseases. He sets us free. Amen. Amen. So we have to know what the word of God says. You know, it's important that we know that God's word is true and that we use his word. What stops the devil? We've talked about this before, because over in Luke, when Jesus went out to the desert, was led by the Spirit after he had been baptized in the Spirit in the River Jordan by the prophet John, the Spirit led him into the wilderness where he was tempted 40 days, 40 nights. And then the enemy would come to him and said, if you be the Son of God, that's always what the devil likes to say. If you're really a Christian, you know, you're supposed to love everybody. Well, we love everybody, just don't agree with what they're doing. We don't agree with people that are out there sinning and stuff. You know, It's like people get so mixed up about these things, and the devil will mix us up. If you be a Christian, oh, you just got to have, diversity, equity, and whatever, identity or whatever it is that they, you just got to embrace everybody. No, you don't. Jesus never embraced everybody. He told him to go and sin no more, didn't he not? The woman caught in adultery. And he even after he wrote in this, we don't know what he wrote in the dirt, but you know, for sure. But boy, all those people that had committed adultery with this woman, what did he tell her? I hold nothing against you, basically. Go and sin no more. So he doesn't want us to continue to sin. What he came for is to set us free. If you look at Luke chapter 4 and read what he did, the Spirit of the Lord was up on him. What? He came to preach liberty to the blind and opening of eyes to the blind and freedom is what he came preaching. So we have to know that. In fact, I just want to read that real quick because it's important that we know what he has done for us. This was right after he came down from the mountain, you know, after being tempted, or the desert after being tempted. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he has anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. Who's the poor? The ones that don't know about the kingdom has come, don't know about Jesus Christ, don't know that the Father sent him to deliver us. Amen. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted. If you're brokenhearted tonight, lean on Jesus. Call upon the name of Jesus. He'll there are a lot of broken people in the world today. You know, we see a lot of people doing a lot of bizarre things, and we sometimes, why do they do that? Maybe they have a broken heart. Amen? Goes on to proclaim liberty to the captives, and recite recovery of sight to the blind, to set at liberty those who are oppressed. A lot of people oppressed today under stress and oppression. You know, the devil's an equal opportunity destroyer. That's what and depressor. Amen? He wants to depress you, to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord. So we have to know that God has come to set us free, and we have to know who we are in Christ, and we have to know that his word, because that's how we combat the enemy. You know, when he said, if you be the Son of God, you know, and Jesus answered him every time with the word, amen, you shall not tempt the Lord your God, but him only shall you serve. That's what he says. We don't want to tempt God, but we can use his word. Well, I'm telling you, it's so important that we know that. Now, number 6, failure to hold fast to our confession. In Romans 10:10, for with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. Mark 11:23 and 24, for verily I say unto you that whosoever shall say unto this mountain, be thou removed and be thou cast into the sea, and shall not doubt in their heart, but shall believe those things which he saith, shall come to pass, he shall have whatsoever he saith. Therefore I say unto you, what things soever you desire, when you pray, believe that you receive them, and you shall have them. So we have to know that by faith is by is measured by our confession. What do you say about yourself? What do you say about his promises? What do you say about when certain situations come into your life, adverse circumstances or something? What do? You confess the word of God. Amen? And we have to do that. And we're to fight the good fight of faith. Lay hold of our eternal life, unto whereunto there art also called and has professed a good profession before many witnesses. We're to speak the word. That's why it's so important that we know the word, and not only know it, but to speak it over ourselves. That we do that, I've probably mentioned this before, in one of our small groups, we do the I Am Confessions. There's, I don't know, probably 75 or, I don't know, a number of them. I am saved. I am sanctified. I am filled with the Spirit. I am delivered. All of those things are speaking his word. So when the enemy attacks you, you have a sword. The sword of the Spirit can cut that right through that and say, no, that's not me. This is who I am. This is what the word of God says about me. Amen. So we have to know those things. So as we walk by faith, not by sight, and the just shall live by faith. Amen? The justified. We are the justified. So we have to know those things. We have to take control. And we take control with our mind, which I'm going to talk about more next week and some of the other things that can get you off course and keep you from running your race, because it's so vital in this day and this hour. We have to take control of what God says over what the enemy does and wants to do. We've read this before, 1 Peter 5, verse 5. Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, walks about like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. Now listen, my friends, he can't devour everybody. He can only devour the ones that give in to him. And how do we overcome? We overcome by the blood of the Lamb, which Jesus has already paid the price, and the word of our testimony. What's the word of our testimony? If God be for me, who can be against me? Greater one lives in me. I'll not be fearful. I'll not be for, we had a message Sunday, and during that time they sang a song, I will magnify him. If we magnify him over every situation, we can be victorious. Amen. The other night at prayer, I read this scripture, which I love so much, and I'll close with this one. But it says in Psalm 34, you ought to read this one, and you ought to take control of, let it take control of your life, because it's so important. The psalmist said, David, who's being approached by, or pursued by Abimelech to kill him, and he says, I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall continually be what? In my mouth. My soul shall make its boast in the Lord. The humble shall hear of it and be glad. Oh, magnify the Lord with me, and let us exalt his what? His name. We just talked about his name together. I sought the Lord and he heard me. How many of you know when you seek him, he'll hear you? And he delivered me from what? All my fears. There goes on other good things. But I'm telling you, magnify the word of God, magnify what it says, and then begin to say it for yourself. It'll change your whole life. It's called renewing your mind. It's getting yourself transformed from your old life, which God has delivered you from, into the new life that he has for you. And let us pray as we close out tonight. Father, we thank you that you made a way where there seemed to be no way that we could live a life that's pleasing unto you. And we do it by faith because we are the justified. We thank you so much that we are the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things become new, and we can walk in your, and in the name of Jesus, we can ward off the enemies of darkness in Jesus' name. And we can live this life to the end and run our race to the very last breath. And so we just give you praise for the ability to do that in Jesus' name. Amen. Good to see you. I'll see you next time.
Thanks again for listening. To hear more messages like this one, make sure to subscribe and check out our podcast channel for past episodes. And if you enjoyed today's message, consider sharing it with a friend. For more content and information about Living Word, check out our website at livingwordfamily.org. And remember to live the gospel and preach the gospel.